Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This episode is in partnership with Gloss Genius. Made for salons and spas, Gloss Genius is the only business management and payments platform that makes it easy to grow revenue and enhance the client experience, which we are all about here on The Treatment Room. From a beautiful online booking site to powerful marketing tools and low payment processing rates, Gloss Genius empowers you to run your full salon or spa in a stylish and smart way while feeling supported at every step. For 50% off for 2 months, go to glossgenius.com/signup and enter code TTRSPRING or check the show notes for details. Now let's get back to the show. Hello, guys. Welcome back to the Treatment Room podcast with your host, Tessa Zolli. So we have such a special, unique guest with us today, Danielle Stead Blanton. She is a business coach and attorney for fitness, wellness, and creative professionals like us. Danielle, welcome to the show.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me. This is so exciting. This is the best day ever.
Danielle and I met through our angelic friend, Ashley Curtis. And yeah, Danielle, I was just telling you this, but you have such a special energy about you. And I really think you make some scary topics such as finance and the legal side of business so much more enjoyable to learn about and more approachable. So I really appreciate having you as a resource and somebody that I follow on social media. I can't wait to share you more with our audience. Could you tell us a little bit about you and your backstory with the corporate and the legal world and what you do now?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first, thank you for that compliment. I think that's the highest form of praise when you hear that you know, what you're doing actually hits and that people actually resonate. And so that makes me so, so happy to hear. So thank you for that. Hi, everybody. This is so exciting to get to spend time with you. Like Tessa had shared with you, I am a corporate attorney. I have a funny background. I always like to say, you know, you can never really connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect the dots looking backwards of how you ended up where you are in your life. I was very typical type A human being. I was a collegiate athlete. I graduated college and went to law school because that's the path, you know, in my family that you take. And in the first few weeks of law school, I knew it was absolutely not for me. I struggled. I hated it. I wasn't good at something for the first time in my life, but I am so stubborn and I stuck it out and luckily passed the bar here in California and secured a very prestigious job at an international law firm. And so I thought, exhale, I made it. And I spent years there incredibly unfulfilled. It's shocking to look back at that time and think of how unhealthy I was physically, mentally, emotionally. And it hit a point that I would wake up every morning and cry and think, this is not how I'm going to spend the rest of my life. Or I'd cry thinking, this is how I'm going to spend the rest of my life. And so with some encouragement, I actually left my role, which was really shocking to most people who I knew, who knew me as, you know, very high achieving, especially in the legal and like athletic industry. And it was one of those moments that I actually lost a lot of friends and I lost a lot of my social circle because they thought I was a joke or a cop out. And I was going on this eat, pray, love mission of life to figure out what I wanted to do. I spent a lot of time working out because that's what you do when you're unemployed. And so I ended up getting approached by one of the large fitness brands here in Los Angeles and across the country. And they said, you know, you're so spunky, you have great energy. Do you want to teach fitness? And I thought, I can't teach fitness. I'm an attorney. Like, I'm so prestigious. Look at me. And it was a huge ego check to go from, you know, wearing a power suit in a big office every day to teaching a boot camp class for $25 an hour. But that boot camp class filled up my soul in a way that nothing else had ever done. And that was a really huge moment for me. And it was a light bulb moment that I think a lot of people resonate with, that there is more to life than the title that you carry or the salary that you earn or whatever those other false labels that we put on ourselves. And so I ended up, you know, luckily starting to make a little more than $25 an hour because Los Angeles is pricey, but I started building a name for myself in the fitness industry. And I was able to then go to other studios, other very well-known studios. And I pitched myself as both a trainer. And in that time, I also started to pick up legal clients because, you know, it's like if you're a doctor at a dinner party, everyone wants to tell you about something. Who was a business owner was like, I have a question about this or my family this. And so I found that I was doing all these small legal deals for people, but it was very much consulting. And it was almost like, you know, you were a therapist with this special skill set and education. And so fast forward, I'm, you know, teaching at some of these very prestigious fitness studios in Los Angeles now. I'm working with small business owners in Los Angeles. We're creatives, we're wellness-based, we're fitness-based. And it was so organic how people found me and how people started coming to me and saying, you know law, I have a question about this contract, or this brand is approaching me because they want to hire me. How do I negotiate this? And suddenly it became, you know, this joke that I was like your friendly neighborhood attorney, because you knew me as the girl in the sports bra who could, you know, kick your butt in a fitness class, but then we could also go get smoothies afterwards and we could sort your business out. And so fast forward about 6-7 years, here we are now. And I've been so blessed to build a community. That's what this really is, of like-minded fitness, wellness, and creative professionals who I would say the main pillar of who we are is that we are passionate individuals. We care about our clients. We care about putting out good products, but we also at the end of the day know that we want to have more for ourselves than a time for money or a time for hour wage life. And how do we build a bigger life? And I think that that mindset has really permeated our communities. And it's so wonderful because now we can work to teach business foundations, business basic, financial basics, but then also the mindset side of it, of how do we really elevate ourselves so that we're elevating our communities, that we know we're worth more, that we're valuable. We can retire one day. We can buy a house one day. And it's a very long-winded story of how I got here, but here we are.
No, I love it. I resonate so much with your story. And I know a lot of people listening likely do too, who have had to pivot or who have been in a sort of rigid job or a corporate setting and who are kind of feeling this call to do something else. And I love that nowadays it does seem more celebrated and accepted to change your career and pivot. But I felt the same pressure when I was leaving my corporate job, thinking about aesthetics. It can feel isolating, a little bit alienating, on top of the fear that's already there. Like, should I leave all of this success I've already fostered to try something new? Having that extra layer of, you know, your family or your friends kind of questioning you and thinking, why would you trade that salary for, you know, a trade school or a trade profession? What would you say, Danielle, to somebody who's kind of in that boat and thinking about making that transition, but maybe struggling a little bit?
I think, you know, you really nailed it when you said that it resonated with you, that you're not alone and that there are so many people who have made pivots in their career. And, you know, I'll probably say this 100 times in this discussion, but you don't know about those pivots because we only really like to highlight our shiny successes. So that's one. But two, I think it's really important to acknowledge that people are going to support you for multiple ways. One is that they're going to support you because they like the box you've put yourself in. it's easy to look at me and say, that's Danielle, the attorney, and all of my friends are attorneys. And when we get together, we talk about the clients we're working with. And it's a built-in social system. And so as soon as you take yourself out of the box, people inherently don't know what to do with you. And and that goes for anything. And so you almost have to, you have to accept that from them, that they're not going to know what to do with you. And now this is kind of where it splits, but the people who can look at you and say, you're so much more than that job that you are, or, you know, the title that you carry, they're going to want to get to know, okay, well, what is going to make you happy? And what is beyond that? And those are the people you're going to want in your life. And family pressure is insanely stressful and hard. I come from, you know, a family of achievers, and their first thought was, you know, I'm 26 years old. They're like, well, how are you going to retire? And I'm thinking, what? Retire? Yes. I just don't want to spend the next 5 years of my life miserable, like, let alone retire in 50. Like, my gosh. Right. And you have to always step back and ask yourself, where is this person coming from? And you also have to be prepared to know, and this was a really painful lesson for me, is that not everyone in your life is going to be in your life forever. Some people are in your life for seasons, and some people are in your life for, you know, just a brief reason. But I have people who I thought were my best friends in law school and my law career that I don't speak to at all now, and I am just okay without them. And that needs to be okay for us too, is that you can't stay down or stay miserable to make other people comfortable or happy.
Mm-hmm. I totally, totally relate with that too. It's hard. And I wish I had kind of had that. I had somebody to say that to me, because when you're starting a business, when you're kind of going out on a limb, when you're creating a product, doing something different, you're hoping so badly to see that familiar support system on the other side, and to see them, you know, come through for you and purchase your product or sign up for your course or for your service. And the sad reality of what I've experienced, I mean, it's okay, but it's just been something to kind of reckon with, is that a lot of those people I expected to show up didn't. Mm-hmm. It probably never will. Mm-hmm. And I think I've just come to understand they're not my golden client. Like, they just are, they've probably put me in that box, like you've talked about, as the family member, the friend, mm-hmm. and they haven't had their first experience knowing me be the brand, the service that I'm offering. And that's okay. But there are other people who will show up for you and who see you for what you are offering. So I think that's just a important thing to highlight, Danielle, because it's kind of, it's just like you're waiting for that, and it may never come. And that's okay. You'll find a new audience.
Absolutely. And, you know, coming from, if you're listening to this, this is coming from two people who have been in it. And so you have to have faith in yourself that what you're doing is right for you, and that your people will come. And that sometimes it's hard to see when you're in the dark and when you're alone. And so, you know, communities, even like on social media, or finding people who you follow, who you feel like hear you or see you, is tremendously valuable. And this is when, you know, advocating for yourself, even in the simplest forms of self-care, are really, really important, because it can be easy then to fall back and think like, oh, you're right, nobody supports me doing this, I should just go back to playing small or being who I used to be. But I think it always helps to hear from people who can say, oh, no, we've been there. It gets better, I promise.
Yes, yes, it does get so much better. And I think there's something really special about that time, even leading up to when you feel like you're successful, like holding on to that momentum. Do you know what I'm saying, Danielle? Like, kind of pursuing that spark when you have it.
Absolutely. And I love how you just, you know, you said momentum and that spark, and you will learn more about yourself in those growing years, and you will feel so proud of yourself in a way that you've never felt before. And that is so, so special. And you know, I think the other thing to be said is that sometimes your friends don't know how to support you. And it just helps to say, you know, maybe I'm not getting married or having a baby today, but maybe we could go to brunch and celebrate the launch of my new product. Or can we go to dinner because I just closed my first cart? And, you know, it goes to any relationship. Communication is key. Like, I always joke, like, my husband doesn't know what I need until I tell him. So we have to tell our friends and family too. And, you know, I would say one of my most valuable girlfriends, I've known her for most of my life, she'll never be my client. She's so far from my client, but she messages me when I do things and she just says, I'm proud of you. And if you tell your friends you need to hear that, you will see your friends reciprocate.
I love that, because I think sometimes when we don't feel seen or recognized, the immediate thought is, oh, they don't support me. They don't understand. And yep, I totally hear what you're saying about partners as well, or friendships. Like the other day, I was feeling nauseous and I tell my boyfriend, he's just like, oh, I'm sorry. And then kind of moves on to the next topic. I'm like, babe, I need you to hear me.
Yep.
Ask a follow-up question. Yep. What can I do? How can I help you? And once I tell him that, he's like, oh, can I go to the store? Do you need this? Like they want to help. It's just sometimes communicating directly and letting people know how they can show up for you and giving them the option.
100%
Men.
So funny. Exactly, right?
Yes. Anyhow, Danielle, we have so many listener questions for you today, and I know you're the perfect person to answer them in regards to business and the legal side of aesthetics. So yeah, let's get into those, starting with the first one from Blazin' Lashes. She says, okay, this is the million-dollar question. Mm. How do you start up an LLC? Do you always need a lawyer when starting out as a solo SD?
Love this question. Love, love, love this question. I think it's probably the one I get the most. And so this is super important. So this is important whether you are going off on your own, or maybe you're thinking of going off on your own. This is information that I want everyone to have. So first of all, it's really important to know what an LLC even is before you even talk about opening it. So really simply, I always like to say an LLC is like an alter ego, but it's your business. So it's you, but it's like business you, you know? So like put on a cute little outfit, your figs or your suit or whatever that is. And that LLC is going to give you, as a practicing SC, liability protection, which basically means if something goes wrong, your business is going to protect you so that you as a person are not responsible. That's the big reason that we start an LLC. That's the big protection. The second big thing to know about LLCs is that they give us financial incentives. They give us tax breaks. They give us things that we can write off through our business so we're not paying as many taxes. And that is super duper important, because as a business, we obviously want to be profitable, one, but two, we also probably want to establish our business credit. So for example, if, you know, I'm sure a lot of you out here have business credit cards, you want to increase your line of credit, you want to be able to purchase inventory, you want to be able to sign a lease on a space. Having that LLC or business is going to help you also establish credit as a business so that your business can, again, hold all of that liability for you. So whenever you're thinking of, do I even need to have one, you should really understand first, well, what is it and what is it going to do for me? And so I think most people hearing this are probably nodding their head and saying, yes, I would like all three of those and I'd like them on a silver platter today, please, which is great. That's what I want everyone to be thinking about. And so if you've decided that an LLC is right for you, and maybe let's take a step back and say, like, is the LLC right for you? Is if you are working for yourself. So that's two things. If you're a solo SC, you have your own space, or maybe you're renting space, you're working for yourself,
I want you to open an LLC. If you are a solo SD who is maybe being hired as a contractor from a company, but you're being paid as a 1099, you also might want to open an LLC for all the benefits and protections. The only time you ever don't want to open one, and I think this is pretty obvious, is if you're being paid as an employee under somebody else. You'll get absolutely none of the benefits, and the employer is going to give you all of that protection and all of the financial things. So kind of checking the box and knowing which one you fall into, let's say, okay, I know what an LLC is now, and I fall into the category of somebody who needs to open it. I work for myself. The biggest thing to now know is that you can do this on your own. LLCs are not scary. They are not something that is meant to trip you up. And in most states, it is the easiest thing as filling in a couple questions on an online form and submitting it. I tell all of my clients that it is your best friend to go on a website like LegalZoom and click what state you're in, open an LLC. Most of us, most of you are going to be just you, which is wonderful. And eventually, if you hire employees, you can absolutely have those with your LLC. So it's going to be very simple as choosing your business name, putting in your personal information, and submitting it. And then these services like LegalZoom will get it filed with the state. They'll mail you a whole package with it. You can even pay them to file your EIN, which is your business's social security number. So it's a pretty straightforward and easy process. So as much as I would love to help all of you, it's going to be more cost effective for you and easier for you to go through that. And now that you kind of know what it is and what it's going to do for you, you'll have a better understanding of if you need it or if you don't.
Great to know that LegalZoom is a resource that, you know, we can and should be using. I actually wasn't sure. So that even helps me to know that's like an accessible resource we can all sign on to use that you say is legitimate and we trust you. So on the topic of EINs, that was another question I got. When should you get one? And should you get one as a virtual solo esthetician is the second question.
Great, great questions. So an EIN, like I had just said, is effectively your business's social security number. So think about how we pay taxes or open bank accounts, and they're linked to our social security number. It's our own unique number. So when you start a business or you are a sole proprietor, you can obtain an EIN. You have to if you're a business. You can if you're a sole proprietor. And what that's going to do is it's actually going to do two things. So number one, one of the rules with LLCs and one of the rules with business entities in general is that you always want to operate your business separately than you as a person. So I always like to say, think of them as avatars, you know, put on your boss SC outfit versus your casual Danielle outfit, right? And so when you're showing up in the business, you always want to be in the business. You always want to have all of your contracts under your business name, your insurance under your business name, your bank account under your business name. And so to do that, you do need that special EIN number. That way you're not confusing work you with personal you. Now, it gets a little tricky sometimes because some people choose to not open an LLC, which is absolutely A-okay, especially when you're starting out and it seems like the financial cost of opening one might be a burden or prohibitive to you starting. I don't want that to ever scare anyone from starting their business. So what you can do as a sole proprietor is I could still go to my state, California, and say, hi, I'm Danielle. I'm going to start a business just as me as a sole proprietor, but I'd like an EIN number. And what that does is that still establishes that little bit of I'm still working as a business. I'm functioning as a business avatar. And so even though I'm not going to get that same liability protection that LLC will give me, I'm going to actually get a little bit because I'm using a separate EIN versus my social security. Basically, I'm operating as a separate person than just me as, you know, an individual. I know that sounds a little confusing. And so if you're scratching your head, maybe replay that or maybe I'll restate that. But we really the government, the taxes, everything really rewards when people show up as businesses, as authentic businesses, versus trying to just pass things off on their own or through their own taxes or under the table with cash. And so that's really the main purpose of opening an EIN, and that's really why you want to. Now, that's not always enough to incentivize people to do so. And so what I like to go back to is the discussion of finances. If anything were to go wrong in your business, if you're operating as a LLC or you're operating under an EIN, really it's going to show that you're trying to operate as a separate thing, as a separate avatar, and it will give you both liability and financial protection. So for example, you might be able to carry more credit card debt if you're opening a bank account with an EIN, and you might not be penalized the way that your credit card company might penalize you if I were to open a credit card under my own name and number. And so that EIN is going to allow you to build business credit. It's going to allow you to protect your personal finances because you're not mixing your personal money with your business money. And it's also going to give you that little extra oomph of legitimacy in the eyes of, you know, any sort of government, taxes, liability, insurance, etc. So if something goes wrong, which is all of our worst fears, that we will still be protected as ourselves.
Do you mind if I ask what Please. Would be some examples of things that could go wrong? Not to scare anyone, but to kind of just Yes. give some awareness of what, you know, why you would want to protect yourself?
Absolutely. Okay. Let's dig into this. So I always use this word liability, and people are like, what does liability mean? So this is how I love to explain it. It's a little wild. So everyone just stick with me here. But I want you to think about going out into like a jungle, and liability are predators. They're the jaguars that want to eat you. They are the pits that you're going to trip into. They are the stream that's going to sweep you down. You want to avoid those predators in your business. That's what a liability is. And so how do you do that? You know, have jaguar repellent, or you make sure you're watching where you're stepping. And that's the protections we want to build into your business. So what are those then? The biggest liability that exists in the aesthetics community is people who are practicing outside of the scope of their license, their permits, their certifications and education. And when they do that, a client has an adverse reaction, gets injured, God forbid something worse happens. That's our number one concern. You don't know how to properly apply a chemical peel. You actually burn somebody. You aren't licensed to be microneedling and you cause a bacterial infection. You cut somebody dermaplaning and they need stitches. These are so common. And I know, you know, everyone listening to this is like, oh, that is my absolute worst nightmare. That's the liability. That is when you're treating a client and something goes wrong. And when that happens, that's why we want insurance, right? Because our insurance company is going to say, we know accidents happen. We got you. No worries. The problem exists is if you're practicing outside of the scope of what you're supposed to be doing, your insurance company is going to say, girlfriend, you shouldn't be doing that. Bad.
Yeah.
And that's when you Bad. Get in trouble. So that's your number one liability that mostly applies to Estes. The second one is financial, and it's you're spending outside of what you're making. You are putting yourself in credit card debt. You sign yourself into a lease that you can't afford, and now you have to break a lease and you crush your credit. And anytime that you're making business decisions that are money related, that you're maybe hoping but aren't grounding in facts or grounding in the numbers that you have, which is super duper common. And a lot of people think, well, I could just close a credit card or file for bankruptcy, but you don't want to do that. That's terrible. That messes with you forever. And so those are your two big, big red flag jaguars that I want everyone to be avoiding.
Okay. When it comes to the financial side of things and, you know, starting up a business, like buying a space, somebody wants to bring on the best quality equipment, like HydraFacial wants to mm-hmm. carry all the best mm-hmm. lines. These things can get really expensive. Do you have any tips when it comes to starting a business as an esthetician who's not necessarily versed in finance? I know that's pretty broad, but any general like places somebody could start to not put themselves in a scary situation with money?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the biggest thing I always say is that, like, one, no risk, no reward, but let's take risks that are calculated, that are informed, that we maybe bring a parachute along with us. And so if you're starting a business and you have, you know, the experience, you have the clientele, you have the gumption, I want you to go for it, dive in with both feet. The biggest suggestion is that a lot of people just jump and they hope that if they leap, they will build wings. And while I wholly support that, I want you to leap, but have a plan. And so what I mean is, if you're going to start a business and you're going to go spend, you know, forgive me for my ignorance, I don't know what a hydrofacial machine costs, but I'm going to assume it's, you know, $5,000, $10,000.
Oh, you'd be shocked.
Okay.
$40,000, yeah. Danielle.
Shut the front door.
For the base model.
I am.
Yeah, it's a car.
I am ill. Yes. That's a car. I know. Wow. Okay. I know. So before you go and commit a year's salary almost, my gosh,
yeah,
for some,
yeah,
let's put together a plan. If you're going to spend $40,000 on just a machine, why are you not going to spend a couple thousand dollars talking to an accountant or a business coach first? And this is where I tend to bang my head against the wall a little bit, because people will invest in things and not know why they're investing or not have a plan to earn it back. And so what I like to do with business owners, and it's something I do a lot with my fitness community, is I say, you want to open a studio? I want to open your studio. I want to be there at your grand opening. I will fly to any studio that I help open, but I want to put together a financial model for you. And that sounds holy cow scary. It's not. We're going to create an Excel sheet. These are your expenses. This is what things cost. Girlfriends, we got to be able to look at the numbers and actually see them. I know. I've gone through those phases where I like glance at my checking account and glance at my credit card bill and I just pay things and I walk away. We have to get comfortable knowing what these numbers are, because until we can authentically and honestly stand in these numbers, we're not business owners. We're just playing dress up almost. And so my biggest piece of advice is sit down, create an Excel file, hire somebody who has done this. Not even me, just hire anyone who's done this to help you understand, how much are you charging for a hydrofacial? What are your profit margins? If you don't know what profit margins are, let's learn what those are. Let's talk about them. Let's get educated on them. How many facials a day do you have to do? Can you hire somebody out underneath you? You know, what are your operational expenses going to be? How much product do you need to buy? All of these things you need to know. And so before you freak out about that, just knowing your numbers is so tremendously valuable. And once you have a good grasp on that, you'll also be able to say, this is how much I can afford to pay myself. Because guys, like, Whole Foods ain't cheap, right? We need to be able to buy our groceries. How much can I spend on rent? How much can I spend on my vacations? Because we all need time off. And then we also need to be able to then say, okay, if this is how much I can make, this is the revenue my business can generate, this is the expenses I'm going to spend, you can, with your LLC and EIN number, go to a bank and secure a line of credit. If you have decent credit as a person, you can have decent credit as a business. You can open a business credit card and instantly get $6,000 to $10,000 in credit. Instantly. Most of us tomorrow, today, we could do it. Absolutely. Wow. And so that can get you a credit to open to buy inventory, to maybe put your first and last month payment on your lease on. So there are options available to you. And then the other thing I always tell people is, don't discount loans or financing. I know that there are some who have a mentality that loans are terrible or financing is terrible and I want to save. If interest rates are low enough that you can get a loan and pay it back. That payback and that interest you're paying is actually tax deductible. So yeah, you're paying it, but you get to write it off on your taxes. And if you write it off on your taxes, that's less taxes that you're paying.
I know platforms like, I think PayPal even does loans now. Mm-hmm. How would somebody suss out what a good loan is? Is there like a certain interest rate you think is a good number?
Yeah. So interest rates are going to fluctuate nonstop. And you have to know that interest rates for like maybe what you're paying for a car is different for a house is different from a business. Okay. I would say that, and I don't want anyone to hold me to this, but really anything like 6% and under is going to be decent. We want to stay away from double digits interest rates. The only time I really see those and know that they're okay are on things, for example, like Amex, where your credit limit is absurd. And so they expect you to pay it off or they're going to penalize you. A lot of these platforms like PayPal, like you mentioned, I believe Stripe and Square also offer business loans. If you're an existing user, for example, your business is already processing client payments through Stripe, they might even give you 3 months interest free on a loan. That's enough time for you to get into your space and start building your client list before even touching having to do repayments or interest. And so I think that going to financial institutions, banks, or platforms like PayPal, Stripe, Square, whom you have a relationship with, they're more willing to give you a good deal because they already have hooked you. They're already a client. So they want to keep you as a client and they want to keep you making money for them.
That makes sense. You mentioned like financial institutions, banks. Is there anything we should look for as business owners when it comes to choosing one? Does it matter? Are they all kind of created equal? Any red flags we should look out for?
Great question. I love this question because oftentimes we think that there's a secret bank that only the most successful businesses are doing business from. Absolutely not. I think that if you are starting out in a business, the best bank to go to is the bank that you already have a good experience with. So for example, we bank with Chase. I have had bad experiences with Bank of America. And so I went to Chase. I hope no one listening works for Chase or Bank of America right now. This is not sponsored or anything. And so I say, go to the bank that you have a good experience with because you're likely to keep having a good experience. Number one. Number two, like I just said, you already have a relationship with them. Maybe you have a credit union. Go to the credit union. Girlfriends, no one cares if you're banking with a random local credit union or American Express's concierge service. Nobody cares. They just want a good experience with you. So where your money is coming and going from is one, no one's business, but two, no one minds. And so once you kind of have those two things, my favorite tip for business owners, this is invaluable. So if you take nothing from this, please listen to this.
Ooh, I'm listening.
Open a business credit card. Now, I like to tell people to go to the Points Guy, which is the website that talks about credit cards and different incentives. Go to the Points Guy and Google best business credit card. Pull it up. And what it's going to do is it's going to explain to you every benefit that different credit cards will give you. So if you want cash back, you want this credit card. If you want travel points, you want this card. If you want, you know, whatever, you want this credit card. Because you are going to be spending so much money in your business. You should be investing money to then make more money. And so you're going to put, first of all, you're going to get a line of credit through this credit card that, like I said, anywhere from like 5, 6 to 10K for business owners. One, that's amazing right there. Two, you're going to pick the credit card that's going to give you the best benefits that you want. Because three, you're going to reap the rewards from that credit card. Every year, my husband and I, we take our various business credit card points, we pull them together and we go on vacation, $0 cost to us. Pays for our travel, our hotels, everything. Maybe we pay for meals here and there, but think about how much you're spending in your business, guys. And if you don't know how much you're spending, you need to go home and start putting together some financials or call me and let's help you. Think about how much you're spending in your business. Think about how much that darn HydraFacial machine costs.
Yes.
Think about the shipping, the Wix website. Mm-hmm. Think about all of the things you're paying, right? Now imagine if you were earning points on that and at the end of the year, you are desperate for a break. You are tired. Maybe you want to go home and see your family for the holidays. How great would it be that your business is now literally taking care of that flight, taking care of your hotel? And that's something that a lot of people don't even think about or put two and two together. Like, yeah, that credit card's going to save you because it's going to allow you to charge things, but then it's going to pay you to go enjoy your life afterwards.
Right. And what a nice thing to look forward to, you know, sipping Mai Tais on the beach with your partner after, you know, a long quarter or whatever it may be. And so, Danielle, I love that you're bringing up credit cards, because I think there can be some fear around it, especially if you're younger, if you've never owned one. Sometimes we hear credit cards are bad. What would you say are some no-nos for first-time credit card users?
Wow, I love this question. I don't think I've ever been asked that. Wow. I love this.
Okay.
Yeah, so let's go back to what we talked about with numbers. You got to know your numbers, guys. So we got to know that if you're spending money, money is coming back to you. And how is that going to come back to you? That means that hopefully the business coach you're working with or someone you're working with is also putting together a plan of how you're going to recoup revenue. You should know that in your business, especially if you're brand new to business, you can accrue debt or you can take a financial loss for up to about 3 years, depending on what state you're in. You can carry that debt forward with you. And that's also kind of mixing taxes in a little bit, sorry. But what I want people to know is that it's okay in your first couple of years to accrue debt, and that's kind of what the whole purpose of your credit card is for. So long as you know that, one, you know the interest rate at which you're accruing that extra debt. And then two, you know how much money you're bringing in every month to be paying down that credit card. Now, that's a really just easier said than done. So what I kind of like to tell people, and it's also easier said than done, is that you want to keep an eye on your spending such that you're not just buying things to buy things. You know, sometimes we think that when we're starting our business, we have this credit card, it's this free reign. I'm going to go buy a neon sign and 17 plants and, you know, an Hermes blanket for the treatment table. And you don't need all those fancy things. You need your magical hands and your magical energy. The neon sign will come, I promise. But I don't have my neon signs. Just everyone just know that. But what I think that people need to know is that credit cards are going to enable you to start. Be mindful of what you're spending. Be mindful of what you're putting on it. Know that you can pay it down, but don't have to pay it off. But also know that there isn't a golden parachute that you can just close the credit card and file for bankruptcy and move on with your life. And so if you truly do not trust yourself to have that device that will allow you to make purchases that you aren't paying back immediately, know yourself. And that's okay too. 100% okay. I knew a business owner who, funny story, didn't get her first credit card until she cracked seven figures of revenue. Seven figures, over $1 million. Wow. Because she came from a family that had lots of issues with money. She had a lot of limiting beliefs and fears. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to know that I'm not spending money that I don't have. And so she finally hit seven figures and opened an Amex, which was, you know, a really cool celebration. And so if you have a fear around it and you don't want to do it yet, don't do it yet. I want you to focus on bringing clients in. I want you to focus on, you know, your schedule and building relationships. I don't want you to stress. Some people are inherent stressors, and that's okay. But if your credit card debt is going to keep you up at night, it's not for you. And I think being honest with yourself and having that conversation or having that conversation with maybe a coach or a CPA is also a really good place to go.
Is there any ideal regular basis you should be paying off of a credit card?
Yeah. So there is a monthly minimum and it is shockingly low. For example, my business credit card's monthly minimum, just to give context, I have probably like a 15K limit. My monthly minimum is $40, which is laughable because you think if I hit that limit and I'm only paying $40, my goodness. But I always tell people you need to be paying the monthly minimum, period, because that's going to keep your credit card active. And it is also going to, oddly enough, still help your credit, still maintain your credit. If you can afford more than that, please put more than that in. Please put in a set amount per month. Please put in X percentage of your revenue per month. But the worst thing you can do is just rack it up and then just not touch it. And so it really is true in this case that a little bit is better than nothing.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd recommend this, but I'm kind of in the habit of just signing on to my little Citibank account weekly and just paying it off. It kind of just brings me some relief.
Yes.
Yes.
I love this for you. Good for you.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm in the habit of it now. I've been doing it since like high school. My mom always kind of instilled that in me to just pay it off regularly. And I feel like psychologically it's kind of cool because I don't see this huge sum at the end of the month. It's just like a thing I'm in the habit of.
I absolutely love that. And
good.
I'm so proud. And also I've heard, but I can't confirm because I'm not a credit. I don't work for whatever that agency that does our credit. I've heard that if you make multiple payments against your balance within a month, for example, if you make a payment halfway through the month and then on the due date, that actually boosts your credit more than just paying it off in full once a month. I've heard this. I've heard it from multiple sources. Otherwise, I wouldn't quote it. So I try to do that. I try to put at least, you know, X amount in at the halfway point, and then I pay it off at the end of the month. But I love that you go in every week because I also feel that you then must have a really, really good idea as to your business's financial health. And that's spectacular.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I definitely had that fear of looking at everything line by line. It's just, it's hard for some reason. And if you like to shop like me, there can be a little bit of shame attached to that, you know, or just, you know, feeling guilty about certain expenses. Do you have any advice there when it comes to feeling guilty about spending habits or feeling shame around them?
Oh, wow. Well, it's funny. I don't think I shared this at the very beginning, but back when I was an attorney, I used to online shop so much because the only thing that brought me joy in life was when the boxes would get delivered to my office.
Yeah.
That was my life, guys. And so that was a huge gut check because I also was making very good money. And at the end of the month, thinking, where is all of my money going? And I was looking at it in my closet, which I'm not Carrie Bradshaw. I did not need to do that. And so for me, it was literally a psychological and emotional hole that I was filling. And so if that is you, I would strongly encourage you to be really honest with yourself and ask what's going on in your life that you want to shop all the time and fill that. That's my very first comment because I have been there and I donated so many clothes to the Goodwill because I don't know why I bought them. But the other thing I would say is that if you're buying something because you really want it, great, buy it. Like life is too short. Maybe do a 24-hour rule if you find that you're over shopping. If you want something, wait 24 hours. If you still want it, buy it. That's a really great one. The other thing I say is maybe you start saving for something bigger than just a pair of shoes. Maybe you start saving for a trip with your friends, or maybe you want a new car, or maybe you want to upgrade your living situation. And so you can ask yourself, is this $100 pair of shoes more important than me putting $100 into a savings account that I can go on vacation or that I could put toward a new down payment on a car? And I think that when you check yourself as to why you're spending, some of us are just, you can spend because you can, your salary allows it. Great. But, you know, are you really able to then afford the big things in life that you want? And if you're not, maybe it's because you're doing those small spendings and not thinking about that.
Yeah. I love that advice. And I love the 24-hour rule because I agree. Like life is too short. If we're working hard and, you know, you're successful, there's, you know, I think there's also something to holding on to money too tightly. But, you know, it's kind of that balance of maybe thinking about it, still rewarding yourself, but just having the awareness and not just constantly putting it on the card, especially if you have those larger goals in mind. You want to take a vacation, you want to buy a home, you want to buy a car, something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, everyone knows themselves best. And, you know, I'll be wholly honest with myself or with all of you here that I made a goal with myself to not participate in fast fashion. Probably in about 2020 when we were moving, it was the pandemic. I had all these clothes that I was never going to wear because we had nowhere to go. And I just realized, you know, you're buying all these trendy things that you're donating every season. And so I made a goal to myself that if this is not something that can go into your staple wardrobe or that you're going to, you know, you're going to wear multiple years, do you really need it for this one season? Now, I fully own, I have things that I've worn once that I needed them, right? But maybe, yeah. But maybe ask yourself that. Or, you know, if you love candles, do you always need to buy a $50 candle and burn it? Or do you, I think it's also just about prioritizing, because what you said was so true. We want to have an abundance mindset that what we are spending on ourselves is because we believe we deserve it. We want to treat ourselves and we want to energetically show the universe that we live in an abundant state that, so that more can come to us. And it just mm-hmm. goes back to, don't be afraid to have those really weird, awkward conversations with yourself sometimes and check yeah. yourself. You know, that's a good yes. thing.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I love that. And Danielle, the last question I have for you here is in regards to taxes from SRX Skin. She says, I was never taught the behind the scenes of taxes for myself, let alone my business. Any advice? I hear this so much and I can't wait to hear your answer.
Oh my gosh, girlfriends. Yes. I don't know about you, but every April first, I usually throw some sort of tantrum of, I'm so glad I learned trigonometry and history to learn how to do my taxes. You know, like we don't learn these valuable life right. skills in high school or even in college. And I actually remember when I was in law school, I took a class on how to do your taxes. All my friends laughed at me. They thought I was so stupid. I learned more in that one class than I did the rest of law school. And most people don't have that opportunity. And so the biggest thing I would say is if you are a business owner in any capacity, so if you're a solo proprietor, if you're an LLC, anything like that, please invest at the very least for your first year or two in hiring a professional who knows what they're talking about, but also knows what you can write off and deduct and credit and everything. Businesses don't realize how favorable tax codes actually are to businesses. You know, not to get on a crazy platform here, but we talk about corporate greed in America and the tax code. Guys, if you're an LLC, you're entitled to some of the same laws that these other Fortune 500 companies are. Just because it's just you doesn't mean you're not, but nobody teaches us that. And so hiring somebody to actually go through your books, especially when you're starting, I touched on this earlier. When you're starting a business, you're actually allowed to carry forward all of your losses for 3 to 5 years, depending on the state you're in. What that means is if your business doesn't make money, right, you're in the negative for the first 3 years. When you go into the positive in year four, instead of having to pay business taxes on that positive revenue, you can actually offset it with all the losses that you had from those first 3 years. So you get to carry those little losses with you, which is, you know, people think is shameful. It's not. It's very smart. Every successful business I know takes losses on purpose. And if you're hearing this, and this is like WTF, you need to hire someone who knows what they're talking about. Just like you want your clients to hire a professional that can help them with acne or rosacea or fill in the blank, you want to hire somebody who can help you understand business 101 so that your business has a really firm foundation. That is the absolute first thing that you should know. And that sometimes people think, again, I don't want to pay $500 for someone to do my taxes when I can do them myself. That's your pride and your ego talking, girls. Like I say that with all of my love, because again, if you're going to spend $40,000 on a HydraFacial machine, oh my God, you got to be able to then spend whatever it's going to cost to make sure that your books are set up properly. Because let's say you don't set yourself up properly in the first year, you don't get all of those deductions, you don't get all of those losses. Year four, year five, you're going to be paying through your face because you didn't do it right in the first place. And and that kind of goes back to the analogy of like, if your client tries to self-treat there, I go back to acne because I had acne. If your client goes to self-treat acne at Target, no shame at the Target drugstore supply. And you're thinking, girlfriend, I needed you to adjust your diet. I needed you to do this first. You wouldn't have had to suffer for this long if you just would have hired the professional in the first place. Think of it the same way as that. If you want somebody to energetically invest in you and your business, you need to energetically invest in you and your business as well. And
yes,
the other thing that I would say to anyone with taxes, and this is something, Tessa, that actually you could start doing is when you go into your bank account every week or month or whatever it is, I want you all to start looking at your expenses. Now, if you have a business bank account, you're actually going to be able to click on the transaction and label it. Is this a travel expense? Is this inventory? Is this legal and professional fee? Is this marketing? Is this fill in the blank, right? And it's going to give you all these options of what you can classify it as. What you're doing right now is you're actually starting to put all your expenses in categories. And so at the end of the year, the end of your tax year, you can go into your bank account and you can download a file with all of your transactions in it. And because you have been really good about classifying every transaction every week or every month, you can download this file. Everything's already labeled. And then all you have to do is you have to add up all of your categories. How much did you spend on marketing? You know, pull all of your marketing things. Okay. How much did you spend on inventory? Pull all of your inventory. Those are your tax expenses right there. Those are the numbers that you're actually going to plug in. Those are the numbers you can give to your bookkeeper. And now you can see, I'm spending this much a month on this. I'm spending this much a month on that. It's going to allow you to both do your taxes or monthlies or whatever it is seamlessly and quickly. It's going to give you really high visibility. It's going to get you in the practice of actually like working on your financial health. But it's also just going to, you know, kind of energetically put you into that mindset of a business owner. And so taxes are always scary because the government wants our money, so they scare us, but they don't have to be. And hear that they don't have to be, that they can be easy, and that if you do owe taxes, the good news is you probably made so much money, girlfriend, that this is your abundant privilege to get to put into to the universe.
Yes, that's great advice, Danielle. Thank you. And I wholeheartedly back what you're saying. I was that person when tax season came around this for 2021. It was my first year in business and I started my taxes on my own without help. It was the most frustrating, like 2 weeks of my life. I was crying multiple times a week because I don't understand, you know, QuickBooks and all these things. I was trying to self-teach myself under this pressure of taxes, which adds like, that scary pressure from the government. You don't want to mess up. It was just a lot. And I ended up hiring an accountant, getting QuickBooks, immediately pressure off of me so I could focus on my business, give back to my clients, like fully show up for them. So I hope everyone really hears that message because it's just not worth it, you know, to save a few hundred dollars. That's time you could be bringing new clients on who are going to be with you for years and years and spend way more than, you know, you would have paid the tax professional. So I fully agree with that. And I hope it's helpful for, you know, another esthetician to hear that from an esthetician too. To me, it's like the cost of doing business. It's something you need to be ready to invest in if you want to be mentally sane.
Yeah. And I think that kind of goes with anything in your business, that if you don't know how to do something, and let me assure you, you're not going to know how to do 90% of the things that comes with running a business, because what you're good at is your magic hands and your magic touch and your energy and healing skin. And that is your business. And so if you don't know how to do something, it's okay. And it's not a commentary on you. And I think so many of us think that we have to do everything alone, or we have to do everything ourselves, or we want to save a couple bucks here and there. But I found that the most successful business owners are the ones that have taken, again, like ego and humility almost, and put that aside and said, I can't do this. So I'm going to go hire somebody who can, because it's not worth my time, my tears, my energy. And, you know, okay, let's say you have a toilet that breaks at your studio. Are you going to go spend 3 to 5 hours at Home Depot and rooting around trying to fix the toilet? Or are you going to call a plumber? 99% of us are going to call a plumber. So why wouldn't you look at your taxes or your marketing or anything else that you don't know how to do in that same capacity, and know that it's just the price of doing business, and that's okay.
Right. That is the perfect analogy. And we can get really prideful. This is like a common phrase I hear from estheticians, like, we're the marketing team, we're the, you know, the finance person, all this stuff. And we don't have to be. We're the esthetician. So I think for me, that is truly some of the best advice I've ever gotten, to hire people who do this for a living, to do my branding, to do my my numbers, because I do not specialize in that stuff. And I know we've probably heard it a million times, but yeah, really staying in your zone of genius is just, it's going to come back to you tenfold. So you can really show up for your clients and harness that energy and show up in a good mood, because I'm not my best self. I'm not, you know, the best esthetician if I go into a meeting stressed about taxes and QuickBooks and trying to call overseas to get help with my QuickBooks. It was so draining.
I love that you can recognize that too. And I love that you're sharing that, because I think, again, it goes back to, if we don't share about it, if we don't share about our struggles, if we're not open and transparent, then the next person isn't going to think that they exist. And sometimes I like to overshare all of my struggles, because I want people to know that, you know, this is what no one's talking about, and this is okay, and this is normal, and let's normalize it.
Yes, I so agree. I think we need, on the whole, to talk about our failures more. And Danielle, I loved that reel you did this week, sharing some of, you know, the things that you felt like were little failures in your business, because it's just refreshing to see somebody who, to me, is like so perfect, so polished, so educated, say, I have some failures too. And it's just, it's like we all do struggle. We all have our own little silent suffering. So if we can be more open and transparent about some of these things we go through, it's kind of life-changing, and we can realize this suffering is not, it's not unique to me. It's part of this experience of being a business owner. So I fully agree.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sharing your suffering is not going to make people think less of you. It's not going to make, it's not going to make you lose a client. If anything, somebody could be watching your page and think, I relate to her so much. She's so real. I want to go get a facial with her. I want to know her. I want to have a relationship with her. And so really showing up authentically, no matter how good or bad it looks, I think is why people are so successful at what they do.
Yes. Yes. I totally agree. Well, Danielle, this has been so, so great. I would love to have you back on. Please be our like designated finance legal person. This has been so, so great. Tell us where we can find you and learn more about what you offer.
Absolutely. Well, I am here for all of you guys. I live on Instagram. You can find me at danielle.stead. And I like to say that I'm on there posting daily sermons and hype ups. From there, you can go onto my website. You can download instant done-for-you legal templates like liability waivers for your business. We can always schedule business coaching calls if that's anything that you're interested in. Or just send me a DM and let me be your number one fangirl. Because if you're out there doing it and pursuing your dreams, then I bow down to you and I am in awe of you, and I want to meet every single one of you.
Thank you so much, Danielle. I know we will all appreciate that resource. I'm going to list your information in the show notes so everybody can easily find you and connect with you and go say hi and come to you with all of our legal questions. So thank you so, so much. We appreciate you. Thank you guys for listening. And I will talk to you next week, next Tuesday, in our next episode. Thanks again, Danielle. This was so much fun.
Thank you guys for having me. I can't wait to come back.